You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
What's inside counts.
If you have listened, paid attention, saw on Facebook, noticed anything, today we are talking about Inside MC3 Student. And of course, we had some very talented students here helping to lead the worship this morning. And we are not going to clap for them. I just want you to know that, because they're not the focus. And the band had a long talk. They all talked about the fact that they're not the focus. The focus is directing our worship to God. So I just want you to know that. That's one of the reasons, like, oh, you care about kids? Yeah, I love them. But you know what? They're not the star. God is. So because we're talking about MC3 Student, I need to do something right now, because there seems to be a division. Okay, now, again, I am one of the old people here at MC3. Just in terms of median mode, whatever that other thing is, somewhere in the middle there. I'm one of the older people at MC3, and so I just want to kind of bridge the gaps a little bit here. So I want to do something here. I need right now up here, please, Jen and Brianna Hockenberry. Thank you. And I need DJ and Garrick up here as well. And I need, ready for this one? You're going to hate me. I want Jeff Condren and his grandson Andrew Brown up here. As well. So if you guys could come up here. So thank you. Now we have, forgive me for saying this, but we have an older generation and a younger generation. Y'all see that? This is Andrew's grandfather, Jeff here, and DJ's dad. No, DJ's dad. Garrick's dad, DJ, and Brianna's mom, Jen. So y'all see, you guys are different. Okay, this is cool. Now, Jen, why don't you stand here next to DJ. Garrick, you go over here next to Brianna. And Andrew, you come over here. And then you three are together. You three are down. Stay inside the light there. You guys can see, you go down with them. Go down with them. We're kicking you away from them. Okay, now, so we have two generations. We have a student generation and an adult generation. And just to mix things up a little bit, I need Bill and Carla Cooper and Josh Solt. And I'll leave Danae and Adlin up to their own discretion to come up here. But if she cries, you can leave. You can go back there, and it doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure Scott's disappointed that he has to hold his granddaughter. So you guys come down here. So we need to make room. You guys are like the middle, okay? So scoot over this way. You scoot over that way. You guys come over here. Okay, so Josh and Danae and Bill and Carla are four of the five MC3 student leaders. Ryan Reese is not here this morning. But so these are the MC3 student leaders. This is the older generation, and this is the younger generation. So somewhere I have a piece of paper. Here we go. Okay. All right. So, 1, A, B, C, and D. By the way, my D is a backwards C because I messed up. So there's for you guys. Okay. All right. A, B, C, and D. This is going to take way too long. I already know it. But that's okay, because you know what? I don't care. I'm in charge. And just for fun, you know, none of the other elders are here today, so, like, I can make, like, grand sweeping decrees without having to. That's not true. I mean, it is true that they're not here. Brian's ill. And anyway, so here you go. This is for you guys. So we've got our MC3 student staff. We've got our older generation, our younger generation. So what we're going to do is, I've got 14 questions, quick. 14 quick questions. And hey, Kendra, can you move your around so that they can, and then you guys can, and you're in the light. Okay. So I've got 14 questions for you. You have four possible answers, A, B, C, and D. Within your group, you guys can discuss. You guys can discuss. And be quiet, because I think they cheat. Okay? Okay? So, and then you, 1, 2, 3, can discuss your answers. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to ask you a question. There'll be a question on the screen. Some of them are visual. Some of them are auditory. That was weird. And then you guys need to discuss quickly. You have, like, 30 seconds or, like, 8. So one or the other. You will find out when I say it's time. And you need to discuss, and then you will take, one of you will hold, I need like the official answer giverator. So one of you needs to be the official person that will hold the correct answer, so you can't cheat and change your answers. And so one person will hold the official answer, and then someone else will hold the other three answers. Does that make sense so far? Okay, so you guys are competing. You're the younger generation, older generation, and they know everything. They do. They're your MC3 students. You know what? You can give them an applause, because They're awesome. Okay. All right. And parents are cool, too, but we'll talk about them later because I'm one. Okay. First question. This is okay. Let me stop. No question. Just so you know, these questions will be geared some towards the younger generation, some towards the older generation, and you guys are just stuck in the middle. And did we break it? What just happened? Just go back to the PowerPoint and inside the generations. Good. Okay. Now you should just be able to hit enter for our first question. Or down. Down would be good. So, down. All right. Which of the following does not belong? It's on the screen here or up there. A, Joey, B, Chandler, C, Brad, or D, Ross? Discuss your answers. Discuss. Discuss. All right. So, A, Joey, B, Chandler, C, Brad, D, Ross. Okay. Everybody have an answer? Who's the official answer person here? All right. So what have you had down here, Garrick? Young generation. We've got C for Brad. And the answer, of course, is C, Brad, because the other three are friends and Brad isn't anybody's friend. Sorry. So, okay, good. So now that was kind of an older generation question. Now let's go to a younger generation question. Which group recently lost a member? Was it A, One Republic, B, All for One, C, One Direction, or D, One Tree Hill? Hide your answers to the sheet. Okay, you have your answer log. Submit your answers in 3, 2. Okay, let's start this time. What do you have? C, One Direction. Wow! The answer is, of course, One Direction, right? And it was like Zayn. Yeah, totally. Okay, so now it's tied. Someone's got to keep score. I thank you, but there's 14 questions. There's 14 questions, and we've got hours. Okay, so it's 2-2-2. John, you keeping track? Okay, all right, and everybody else can help John. Okay, 2-2-2. Okay, so next question here. It is, if something is on fleek, it is what? Is it A, perfect, B, a small speck, C, like a dog, or D, stuck? Is it A, B, C, or D? Perfect, a small speck, like a dog, or stuck? No help from the audience, okay? Unless you say, come on, 5,000, no whammies. All right. No bankrupt. Okay. Yeah, right, exactly. There you go. So you're allowed to say that. Okay, so it's time to log your answers. Let's start in the middle here. What do you guys have? You have A, perfect. What do you guys have? A, perfect, and you have A, you totally heard them, didn't you? Okay, good, because I love you because you're perfect. Okay, the answer is perfect. So there you go. If you did not know, on fleek, it means they're like my hair. Dude, my hair is always on fleek. I mean, see it? It's always perfect. Okay, so on fleek. Okay, next question. What are we at? I think now it's 3-3-3. Okay, now listen, this is an auditory question. Remember, keep your answers quiet. I heard your last one. Okay, now please listen and tell us. I'll give you options once you listen to it. There'll be a sound clip here, and then we'll give you options. So listen to this sound. Okay, so there was your sound clip. Here are your options. Is that A, a rotary dial telephone? Is that B, a modem? Is that C, a car phone? Or is that D, an answering machine? Okay, A, rotary dial telephone, B, a modem, C, a car phone, D, an answering machine. Please log your answers. Everyone have their answers logged in. Okay, what have you guys got? A, a rotary dial telephone. Oh, all right. B, a modem. So the answer was B, a modem. Once upon a time, that's how you used to connect to the internet. Okay. All right. And some people still do. Sorry. Like if you live in the valley, you're like, You know, most of they've moved beyond drum signals now, though, right? Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Totally offensive. Anyway, so where are we at? We're at 6-4 to 4-3. Oh, we still love you. Oh, wait, what's going on? Okay, what is this called today? Is it an A, emoticon, B, emoji, C, emo goose, or D, semicolon parenthesis? Okay, what is this called today, that picture? You can see the picture, right? Okay, all right, so is it A, emoticon, B, emoji, C, emo goose, or D, semicolon parenthesis? Do you have your answers logged? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, okay, what have you got? B, emoji, emoji, and emoji. And the answer is emoji. Yay, B. Okay, an emoticon is what like old people called them, but we're old. So an emo goose is crossy road. I don't even know what's next. But where was the score? So it's 5-something. You just keep track. We'll go to the next one. Okay, next question. If someone said it smells like teen spirit, what are they doing? Are they A, buying perfume, B, playing a sport, C, listening to music, or D, eating fast food? So discuss your answers quietly. A, buying perfume, B, playing a sport, C, listening to music, or D, eating fast food. Okay? All right, our answers all logged in. All right, we'll start in the middle here. C, listening to music. What have we got over here? C, listening to music, and C, listening to music. And the answer is, of course, listening to music. That is a song by Nirvana. All right. Okay, from the 90s. All right, let's, I don't know what's next either. So don't go any further. Let's just talk about the score. What's the score?
6-6-5.
Okay, all right, just to clarify. So if we're at 6, then we're not even halfway through. And, oh, we've got hours here. Okay, good. Go on faster. Okay, the next question is, Miranda Sings' signature look is too much what? Is it A, eyeliner, B, lipstick, C, hair color, or D, glitter? Miranda Sings, her signature look is too much of what? Eyeliner, lipstick, hair color, or glitter? Log your answers, please. All of the above. All right. Where's my water? Okay, ready? Do you have your... Oh, they're still thinking. Sorry. I need this one. Okay. All right, let's start down here. Students, B, lipstick. Older generation, B? B, wow. At least, like, you can all get it together. The answer is, in fact, B, lipstick. And you can Google her picture. I don't even really know much about her except that she wears too much lipstick. So it might be really bad. So maybe don't Google her. Anyway, because I'm just old, you know. I don't know these young whippersnapper things. Okay, next question. Who in West Philadelphia was born and raised? Was it A, the Fresh Prince, B, Ice Cube, C, Marky Mark, or D, Tone Loke? Who in West Philadelphia was born and raised? The Fresh Prince, Ice Cube, Marky Mark, or Tone Loke? All right, let's start down here with your answer. A, and we've got A, and we've got A. All right, and the answer, of course, is the Fresh Prince, right? And we could all go in West Philadelphia. I was born and raised on the playgrounds where I spent the most of my days. You know it. Okay. Anyway. All right. We'll just keep moving. I'd love to keep talking about stuff, but I don't have time. So the next question. What? Okay. Now just hold on here. What is the next line of this song? So an auditory question. We've had some glitches here, so if it doesn't work right, we will play it again for you, but you'll get to listen to the song, and then you need to decide what is the next line. I will give you your answers in a moment after you listen to this song, so go ahead. Okay. Uh-huh. All right, so your options are A, because it's a bittersweet symphony, B, it's so hard to say goodbye, C, with arms wide open, or D, to the end of the road. Because it's a bittersweet symphony, it's so hard to say goodbye, with arms wide open, and to the end of the road. So go ahead and log your answer. All right, our answer is logged in. Okay, let's start down here. Young generation. Is that a D? That's a D? A D? Okay, what have you got? A D and a D. All right. Please sing along if you feel so inclined. Go ahead. Audio now. Or not. Okay, back up. Go back. What happened to it? It was not happy. Click left and then go live. It should be end of the road too. There it is. With Greasy Greg on this one. There you go. Supernatural. Okay. All right. Moving on. That was Boys to Men. What is the next line of this song? Go ahead and play the clip. Shut up. Okay, the options are A, your lips are moving. I shouldn't sing. Your lips are moving. Why you gotta be so rude? Shut up and dance with me and it's going down. I'm yelling timber. Next line of this song. Your lips are moving. Why you gotta be so rude? Shut up and dance with me. It's going down. I'm yelling timber. Okay, are your answers logged in? Okay, youth staff, C. Elder generation, C. And student, C. And the answer is C. And, of course, here's the song. All right, so where are we with the score? 10-10-9. Okay. All right, here's your next question. What early 90s movie stars Kevin Costner, who later plays Superman's dad, as an arrow-wielding hero? Is it A, Robin Hood, B, Pirates of the Caribbean, C, Dances with Wolves, or D, Jurassic Park? What early 90s movie stars Kevin Costner, who later plays Superman's dad, as an arrow-wielding hero? So go ahead, log your answers. All right, since I hear I have no idea, this is supposed to be your question. This is for your generation. All right. What do you guys have? C, okay. What do you guys have? A, and you guys have A, and the answer is? A, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Okay. All right, so now it's what? 11-10-10. This is good. This helps the point today. This is good. It works out well. Okay, here's the next question. So that was what early 90s movie. This is what? This is the point. Are you trying to make a statement like it's time to be done? So, what early 2010s movie stars Russell Crowe, who later plays Superman's dad, as an arrow-wielding hero? Is it A, Robin Hood, B, Pirates of the Caribbean, on Stranger Tides, C, Les Miserables, put your answer away, D, Jurassic World? So what early 2010s movie stars Russell Crowe, who later plays Superman's dad, as an arrow-wielding hero? Robin Hood, Pirates of the Caribbean, on Stranger Tides, Les Miserables, or Jurassic World? Are your answers logged? Where are your parents? Oh, they're up there. Okay. All right. And I don't want any outbursts from Adeline either, wherever she is. We don't know. You took her away. Oh, you knew it was going to happen. Okay. Your answers. Students, what have you got? C, Les Miserables. Adults, A, Robin Hood. And youth staff, A, Robin Hood. And the answer is, in fact, A, Robin Hood. Both movie, popular movie in the 90s, popular movie in 2010s, and they both starred the guys that would later play Superman's dad in Man of Steel. Isn't that weird? Weird. Woo. Okay, cool. See, aren't you glad you know that? Okay, the next question. What 90s TV show is about school life with Corey and Topanga? Is it A, Saved by the Bell, B, Boy Meets World. C, The Wonder Years. Or D, Saved by the Bell, College Years. 90, it's all right. Anyway, so what 90s TV show is about school life with Corey and Topanga? Saved by the Bell, Boy Meets World, The Wonder Years, or Saved by the Bell, The College Years? All right, let's start in the middle. What have you got? B, Boy Meets World, okay? B, Boy Meets World, and B, Boy Meets World, and the answer is B, Boy Meets World. So I think this is the last question coming up. 13, 12, 11, so it's yours to lose. Okay, so what 90s TV show? Okay, next question. What 2010s TV show is about school life with Corey and Topanga? Is it A, Saved by the Bell, B, Girl Meets World, C, Phineas and Ferb, or D, Saved by the Bell, The New Class? Don't give it away. All right, answers. This is it. This is it. So let's see if you guys can hold your lead. Okay, you've got B, okay? You guys have B, and you have B. And the answer is B, Girl Meets World. So, I think that's it. Is that the last question? 14, all right. So our winners are the MC3 student staff. Now give it up for them again. All right. Which is good, because they're working with our students. All right, thank you guys very much. Why don't you give them all a hand and for being involved in what we're doing today. All right, so, yeah, I could have gone on. And what was interesting is that there's, like, themes. Like, what was one of the highest grossing films of the 90s that featured dinosaurs loose in a theme park? And then you could have said the exact same thing. What is the top grossing film of 2014 that features dinosaurs loose in a theme park? So there's this repeating thing. So apparently, like, the 90s and today are connected there. And, of course, next week is when Marty McFly goes to the future and sees that the Cubs win the World Series in October 2015. So the Cubs could totally win the World Series in 2015. Yeah, so it's interesting. And my high tops are in tribute to that. They don't inflate or automatically lace themselves, but those are my Back to the Future tribute shoes. So I want to talk about generations, and we're talking about MC3 student this week. And this idea of frankly, you know, there are differences. There are differences between the older generations and the younger generations. And if you guys were here, if you're part of one of the MC3 ministry team leaders, you were here for the big old meeting a couple weeks ago, and we talked about, you know, the importance of just seeing things new and fresh and not getting stuck in, well, this is the way we've always done it. Because it's so important. That's what leads to death of a church. Is getting stuck in the way things always are. And I want to just kind of talk this morning about two things. You know, one, of course, the point of going inside MC3 student. And so that's the point that I want you to understand and walk away with today. We've called this interpret. But the point is, on the inside, MC3 student is about being another voice for families. A couple of weeks ago when we talked about MC3 family, which we were looking at that point, you know, nursery all the way up through 5th grade. Today we're talking about 6th through 12th grade. But a couple of weeks ago we talked about how MC3 family is about being a partner to families. And so today we're talking about being another voice. And it kind of continues this idea. And I've entitled this, the point today, Interpret. Because I think a lot of times, you know, students need an interpreter. And I don't mean for us to understand them. I mean, that's true all the time because you're old and stuff, you know. But sometimes it just helps to have someone take the same thing and just say it in a different way. And so we'll come back to this idea of being another voice and what that means and why we do things the way we do with MC3 student here at MC3. But I want to look at a passage that you, even if you didn't grow up going to church, even if, you know, maybe this is your first time in church, if it is, welcome. You know, this is a little different probably than what you would expect, and we're cool with that. But a passage, a story that you probably know in some way, shape, or form, and that is the story of David and Goliath. And, of course, maybe you don't know that story, but the idea of there's a boy and a giant, sling, hit the giant, it's all over, and David was totally on fleek because he was handsome and ruddy. So the story you know. And so I'm not going to spend too much time going into the story, but looking at some interesting elements when it comes to to young people, to students. And when I say students, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 6th through 12th grade. You know, I try not to use the word youth or teens because, frankly, in my experience, youth and teens are almost like, they're like swear words in church. They're like, oh, it was the teens that broke that table. It was the youth that stuck the hole in that wall. Are you one of those teens? Like, so I don't know. I just, it's my thing. I was a youth pastor for 10 years and worked in youth ministry on a lay level for 8 years before that. So I've been around students for a long time. And now a father of my own 1 month away teenage daughter. And I have two students, two girls that are in MC3 student right now. So I'm kind of going through this from the other end of the spectrum. And we'll talk more about how cool that is. So anyway, here's the story of David and Goliath, just to kind of catch you up on the background. So the Philistines are up against the Israelites. There's this valley, and on each side of the valley, the armies are lined up. And this huge guy, Goliath, he's like 7-some feet tall. Like, and you know, I don't know what his issue was. He was tall. And so he comes out, and he says to everybody, look, guys, Let's not even get into war and have all these battles and swords and dying and, oh, no more singing. And he says, instead, why don't I just fight, bring out your best, I'll fight against them, and whoever wins, the other army is going to just become, they're going to submit and be servants to them. And so he says, that's the plan. And it says that Goliath comes out and he starts offering just these threats. He stands out and says, come on, you know, bring it. Who's got what it takes to take me down? And then he starts insulting God. And says, you know, the God of the Israelites, the true God, the living God of Yahweh, and the one that led them out of the out of Egypt, out of slavery, and of course, Abraham, and just all these stories of the Old Testament. He starts mocking God and saying, your God is not powerful either, because you can't even come out here. And basically, this is the way life is for a long time at this battle. That Goliath comes out every morning, the Israelites are like, today we can do it. No, we can't. No, we can't. You know, and they run away because they don't have what it takes. And so you've got this guy, David, this boy, David. And David is a shepherd. He is a shepherd. He is one of many sons of his dad, Jesse. And his older brothers, his three oldest brothers, are in the army serving for King Saul. King Saul is the king. The king would lead people into battle, which becomes an issue for David later in his life. But he would lead the people in the battle. So Saul was the leader of the army, the general, and David's oldest three brothers were in the army. They were there. So they were at the battle lines. And David's dad says to David, he says, look, hey, why don't you take some stuff out? Take some food out. Run some food out to your brothers out there and maybe give something to their general, to their commander and stuff. And so that's kind of the scenario here. So they're at the battle lines. The Israelites are scared out of their minds of this giant Goliath and the Philistines that he represents. And David is sent to the battle line just to give him like a care package. You know, he's like, here's some stuff for you guys just to let you know that dad's thinking about you and maybe some cookies that mom always makes that you like, you know. And like a gift card to the laundromat to wash your clothes, things that are important like that. So David comes out with this care package to his brothers and he gets out there and little David boy, and I don't know how old he was, but he was clearly young. He was clearly young, and we're talking probably not, definitely not older than what we would consider teenage years. Definitely not, because, you know, adults were considered mid-teens in that time. So David goes out there, and he sees this battle, and he sees these lines. He hears Goliath coming out mocking God, like he always does, mocking the Israelites. And so David basically says, you know, what's the deal? What's going on? And that's what we have here, just kind of catching you up here in 1 Samuel 17, which, by the way, you can go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17. When the lights will come on, if you want to use paper Bibles, if you go to the YouVersion app, tap on 1 Samuel. I'm looking at the message today, so it's a little bit different, just because I want to give you more of a summary of the story, which is MSG in... not monosodium glutamate, but the message in YouVersion, if you want to look at that. But we're in 1 Samuel 17. We're going to hang out there for a while, so you might as well turn there. But there's way more than I'm going to be able to talk about. So David comes up, and he says to the guy standing around, he says, what's in it for the man who kills that Philistine and gets rid of this ugly blot on Israel's honor? Who does he think he is, anyway, this uncircumcised Philistine, taunting the armies of God alive? And they told him what everyone was saying about what the king would do for this man who killed the Philistines. And what the king had said was basically, I'm going to pay off all the debts of that family. I will make you rich and I will give you my daughter in marriage. So it was a pretty powerful package. It was a nice benefit package that was offered there for the person that would kill this Philistine. And so that is the setting. So young David is at the battle line. His brothers are there. He's given him the care package and finds out that whoever kills this guy, and of course he says, who's insulting God? And they say, you're going to get riches, and you're going to get the daughter of the king to be your wife, which is, you know, not just, I don't know what she looked like, but just the honor and the prestige of being in that position was pretty powerful. But here's the problem. And the problem is that David was young. And so, simply because of that, he got no respect. No respect at all. And I'm going to use an old word because I'm an old guy. Okay? So if you're young, you're like, nobody uses that word anymore. I know. And I'm okay with that. All right? I'm bald and I'm happy. Okay. So he got no respect. The first thing is that David, young David, got no respect from his friends. The people that he would consider close, the people that he would consider that you would hope would care about him, they didn't respect him. And the first thing that we see is that they dissed him, which is short for disrespect. They dissed him for being different. Because see, the issue was that David didn't fit into their molds. They're like, no, this is the way it always is supposed to be. This is how we do things. And so that's what we see here in verse 28 through 30. So David comes and asks what's going on. Meanwhile, his brother, Eliab, his older brother, heard David fraternizing with the men and lost his temper. So Eliab, I don't know how to pronounce it phonetically, but he hears David and he loses his temper and says, what are you doing here? Why aren't you minding your own business? Tending that scrawny flock of sheep, which, by the way, belongs to him as well because he's David's brother. It's his dad's sheep. But anyway, jerk. So anyway, he says, why are you minding your own business? Aren't you minding your own business? Tending a scrawny flock of sheep. I know what you're up to. You've come down here to see the sights, hoping for a ringside seat at a bloody battle. What is it to you? What is it with you? I love that. Like, this is the message, so it's not like the literal word-for-word translation, but the concept's there. He says, what's it with you? What's up? All I did was ask a question. I mean, honestly, have you ever heard those two phrases from a student? What's up with you? All I did was ask a question. I'm sure you never have, but I have. And so David, you know, that's the deal. Ignoring his brother, he turned to someone else and asked the same question and got the same answer. So here's the deal. Eliab saw David and was like, what are you doing here? Who do you think you are? Why are you asking this? Because that's not the way it works, David. The way it works is we all line up in the morning, Goliath comes out, confronts us, and we want to run away like scared little girls. That's the way it works. Yeah, right, exactly. Run away! Okay. So that's what happens. And David comes along as a young little punk, a young stinking teenager, and says, what's this? This isn't right. What's going on here? If someone takes down this guy, what's going to happen? And that makes David's brother, his brother, come on, brothers and sisters always get along. They always do. But in this one instance, in the course of the entire history of the world, David did not get along with his brother. And we know it's sad. But that's what's going on. He was dissed just because he was different. He wasn't doing things the right way. And simply because of that, he was looked down upon by his older brother. His brother, come on, family, blood, right? Anyway, then it goes on. And we see that David was dissed for being young. So stop it. Go ahead, fix that, please. And I know some of you that are on the other end of the spectrum, on the continuum of life there, are like, I wish I could make me young now. You know, I mean, like, you can't change that. But David was dissed for being young by, you'll see here, by someone that was supposed to be on his side. And so in verse 32, it goes on and says, the things David was saying were picked up and reported to Saul. Saul is the king. Saul sent for him. Master, said David, don't give up hope. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine. Now, understand here, like, you see what's going on. Like, I don't even know how to begin that kind of a modern interpretation of that. It'd be like, some little kid be like, oh, I can take down ISIS. Don't be afraid, I'll do it. And of course, what would we do? We would laugh. We'd be like, whatever. And so Saul said, you can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced. And he's been at this fighting business since before you were born. So David, right away, he says, I can do this. Don't give up. I'm going to go fight. And Saul's instant reaction is, you're too young. I know I'm the king, and you're one of my subjects, and this is all good. But David, you're young. Kids can't do anything. Teenagers, you got nothing to offer. So go back home. But David didn't. And so we see the third thing that happened here from his friends is that he was dissed. And watch this, people. I've been in church for all my life, actually. But you know, working in church ministry, involved in leadership of church, working with students for 18-some years. This is the one where somehow, and I'm just talking straight, like adults get stupid and wrong. Because what happened here is that David was then dissed by Saul for being on fire. Because David was on fire for God. David was excited about what God can do. And I have seen it happen over and over. And I have to say I've seen it happen here. I can't say that. But in my church experience, the multiple churches I've served in, I have watched adults quench, put out, destroy, beat down the fire and passion that students have for Jesus. And that's what happened to David here. He was dissed for being on fire. And goes on in verse 34, it says, David said, I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Now, of course, Saul said, you can't do this. And David says, no, look, I've been a shepherd. I've been tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, give it a beat down, and take the lamb and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I love this. He's like, if it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, booyah! It made no difference. I killed it. Yeah, drop the mic. Thank you, I'm done. So he says, I killed it, and I will do the same to this Philistine pig who is taunting the troops of God alive. God, and here's the point, right? Here's why no one's clapping for David. Because God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine. David was like, hey, I can't do this. I mean, I've done stuff, but you know what? When I beat up that lion, I smacked down that bear and wring his neck by the throat. That wasn't me. That was God. And I believe that I can do this because I am standing for God. Because I am on fire for him. And I know that it's his power and his strength that can do something incredible through me. And so I was like, all right, go and God help you. I mean, he probably didn't say it that way because, well, he spoke Hebrew. But there's something going, God help you. All right. You know, I'm sure there was an accent in there somehow. So that was kind of from the people that were supposed to be his friends. The people who were supposed to be on his side were straight up disrespecting him. We're like, no, you can't do this. You're too young. You're doing things differently. That's not how we do it around here. And like, you know what? Just, I don't want to hear about this on fire for God. And he was just dissed for that. And then, we see that he was not only dissed from his friends, and this is the first one here is a little bit, but also from his enemies. And we see this pattern as well again. You have him being dissed for being different. Now, technically, this first one technically is actually his enemy or his friend as well. But it just didn't fit my outline. Sorry. That's wrong. But he was dissed for being different again. So he was dissed from his brother for being different. Now he's dissed again for being different. In verse 38, I'm just being honest. It says, then Saul, who's a good guy, says, outfitted David as a soldier in armor. He put his bronze helmet on his head and belted his sword on him over the armor. David tried to walk, but he could hardly budge. So Saul has given David, like, this is the way it's done, David. If you're going to go fight this guy, God help you, because you're not going to be able to survive. But anyway, on fire for God, okay. You understand, I'm sure there was some respect there from Saul a little bit, probably. And he was willing to support him. And he said, okay, here, put on my armor. This is how you fight. This is the way it's done here. And David said, I can't even move with all this stuff on me. I'm not used to this. So he took it all off. And then David, right? He's getting ready to go into battle. And we know the story, so don't miss the fact that you're familiar with it. He's getting ready to go into battle, and he says, okay, I'm going to fight against the greatest soldier that has ever lived in my time. I need my shepherd's staff, and some rocks. That's one way to do it. Okay. How about like a tank? Or an Iron Man suit? Or something like that. Like, you don't just go into a battle with a shepherd's staff. Oh, I'll wave my stick at you and my rocks. Like, David was doing things differently. The way it's always done is you wear the armor. He says, no, I'm going to do it differently. And we have to be careful that, again, just like the people in David's life, we can't, just because someone does something differently doesn't make it wrong. And I'm totally like, please put a mirror right here so I can talk to myself. Because I like the way things are done my way. And my way is the right way, of course. And by the supreme power of no elders in the room. No. But you know, it's so easy to say, this is the way it's supposed to be done. This is the way it's supposed to be done. And the students with the next generation, they think differently. They do things differently. They say weird things. They dress funny. And I know that people are like, you dress funny. Yes, I do. Okay, so see my belt? Anyway, that would be my wife. Was that from my wife? Oh, okay. Oh, back there. Okay, so, all right. So anyway, he was disobedient. And we have to be careful that just because someone does something different, it doesn't mean it's wrong. Just because they do something different doesn't mean it's right. I understand that. But just be careful that we're not saying, well, this is the way it's always done. Because I can tell you, there are many people that you could interview at this moment in time, right now, walk out and say, what is the way church is supposed to be done? And they will say, you're in a suit and a tie, and you're in pews, and you sing from a book, and there's an organ, right? Those things aren't wrong at all. There's nothing wrong with that. But for that person to then say that sitting in a garage, dressed in a t-shirt and jeans, reading from a screen with a drum set, which, again, we're not giving applause to the students, but well done, guys. You know what I'm saying? So we can't just say because it's different, it's wrong. So we got to be careful about that. So then the second thing we saw is that David from his enemies, now it's really the enemies, now it's the enemy. He was dissed for being young. So the people that like him disrespect him for his age. The people that don't like him disrespect him for his age. And then he goes on here in verse 41. And says, the Philistine paced back and forth. So he's in his spot doing his thing with his shield bearer in front of him. And he noticed David. He took one look at him, took one look down on him and sneered. A mere youngster, apple-cheeked and peach-fuzzed. That's the message, interpretive. It's like, you little snot, who do you think you are? The Philistine ridiculed David. He says, am I a dog that you come after me with a stick? Shepherd's staff. And people are still like, what does that mean? Great scholars don't really know what that means, but it's some sort of an insult. So there, if you want to like slip one in, no, you shouldn't do that. You should always talk nicely about people. But if you ever did, you'd be like, are you a dog? Are you coming at me with a stick? What does that mean? You'll never know. Anyway, so he cursed him by his God. So now David, not only is Goliath making fun of David for his age, he's also making fun of him for his God. I mean, this he's just laying it on. And then he says, come on, said the Philistine. I'll make roadkill of you for the buzzards. I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice. So Goliath lays one pair of eyes. Two total eyes on David and sees how young he is and just starts mocking him. Like, you've got nothing. You're just a young punk. Who do you think you are? Boy, when I was your age, those things are said. And yeah, so his enemies were dissing him just for being young. We've got to be careful. And then the last thing that we see here, so as friends dissed him for being different, for being young, and his friends dissed him for being on fire. And now his enemies dissed him for being different, dissed him for being young, and dissed him for being on fire. Continuing in verse 45, then David answers. And we're going to have a chance. You guys will have a chance to talk about this in prime groups this week. And I honestly, please, I know some of you guys don't, your groups are a little disheveled and you can't always get to the discussion guide. There's the discussion guide this week is on purpose divided into two parts. There's a student part that the students are going to be discussing in their student primes this week. And prime, actually, it's just one since they're meeting together this week. And then the adults will be discussing it. And there's some cool stuff here that I'd love for you guys to really chew on as adults when it comes to the next generation, as students when it comes to respecting the previous generation. But anyway, so he's on fire. He says, you come out with me with sword and spear and battle axe, but I come at you in the name of the God of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock. Bold! That is just seriously bold. Wow. But David's not saying, I'm here in front of you because I am buff, and I've been working out for 6 years and drinking my milk. Pardon me, guys. Remember that commercial? The guy drinks his milk in front of the mirror, and he looks like me, and then he drinks his milk, and he looks like me. Anyway, he's not saying any of that. He says, it's because of God. He says, this very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head, and serve up your body and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and coyotes. He probably talked like that and wiggled his head. I think he did. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel. And everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by the means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God. He's handing you to us on a platter. There is a young whippersnapper who is on fire. And he is bringing it. And it's not about who he is. It's about the God that he worships, the God that he follows, the God that he loves. And so I just want to, you know, of course, the story goes on. Just kind of hang out right here, if you will, on the slide. We know how the story ends, right? He goes out, he picks up his stones and slings them in a slingshot. What, is it like this? I mean, I always slingshot. Anyway, but he somehow, these stones, and it says they were pretty substantial sized rocks. Okay, the first one hits him in the middle of the forehead, drops him to his ground. David pulls out his sword and chops his head off. You know, we love telling that story to kids, you know? And then it says, we don't tell the chop the story off, right? We're like, hey, kids, come on, children, let's gather around and hear the story of David and Goliath. Oh, and he slung and slung. Isn't there a song that goes to this? Like, flum down and hits him and drops. No? Okay. and then, yeah, it's like, oh, and David defeated Goliath that day and then drew his sword and chopped off his head and then grabbed his head and carried it in celebration around showing that he had become victorious over Goliath. It's in the Bible. Then they took Goliath's head and put it on a spear for all to see. Woohoo! And then Saul kept his head just as a monument. Yeah, so tell your kids that one. But anyway, here's the deal. We just in this story, you see a guy who is on fire, who is just being looked down upon simply because of his age, simply because his age leads him to do things differently. And God showed up and said, you know what? I don't care what any of you guys think. This guy is on fire for me, and I'm using him. And as the older generations, and again, like, I'm just saying this now because there's going to be a point, and there probably are points for some of you where you're like, that's different. They're kind of young, so we let them lead up front? And we learn from David that, you know, it doesn't matter how old, tall, normal, different, the issue is here. It's here. It's what, because you know what? What's inside counts. So get your t-shirt in the lobby. All right. I didn't plan that, but, you know, it was fun. But that's the point. Like, the point is what's inside. And that was the issue with David, is that he was on fire for Jesus. And so I just ask you, when you see teenagers, when you see students, when you see youth, how do you see them? Do you see them as potential or just as not like me, too young, too whatever? And I just want to encourage you to maybe see them like God saw David. And that means for you students, if you're in here like, yeah, preach it, Sean. You need to live up to that. Because David wasn't a schlub. He was on fire for God. And so if you want people to respect you, be on fire for God. And I'll tell you, I mean, I've talked about this multiple times. I mean, we launched MC3 Student last fall. It's almost a year, like it was last October, I believe. And there are some on-fire students, and that is exciting. There is energy, there is passion. That is amazing. And Bill and Carla, Josh and Danae and Ryan, I mean, they're leading this group of students and just doing a really incredible job, and I'm excited about that. So let's go to the point. Let's talk a little bit more deeply about the inside. What's going on? What is MC3 Student all about? So the point is that on the inside, MC3 Student is about being another voice for families. Now, we've talked about this, so I'm just going to review it quickly. But Deuteronomy 6, we looked at this a couple weeks ago, talks about how it is the parents' job to disciple and raise their children spiritually. It's not the church's job. That is not my job. That is not the MC3 student staff's job. That is your job as a parent. No matter how old they are, if they are your child, it is your job as the parent to disciple them. We as the church, and that's what MC3 Family is all about, we want to come alongside and say, hey, we're here for you. We want to help you do that so you can succeed, so you can be a part of that. So that'll work. So, I mean, we're here for you. We are on your team. We're not fighting against you. We're fighting for you. And so, So that's where this idea of another voice comes from. And here's a quote from Reggie Joyner. There's a book called Think Orange. And, of course, you've heard that we went to the Orange Tour a couple weeks ago, the MC3 family staff. And this book is all about the idea of the church working with the family, not against. Working with the family together. And he makes this statement in there, this quote. He says, from the time students hit middle school, they start moving away from home. They're not doing anything wrong. It's different. It's just the way they are made. They are becoming independent, and they begin redefining themselves through the eyes of other people who are not in their immediate family. The older they get, the more important it is to have other voices in their lives saying the same things, but in a different way. This idea of another voice, of someone coming alongside and saying the same thing in a different way. And I, this is my example forever, and it's really cool. But my example has been Danae Snook, and she's tired of hearing this story probably, and Scott. Danae was one of my students. I remember when Danae was a bratty fifth grader, and now she's older. No, she's an amazing woman of God, and that's just a whole other story. But watching this girl kind of grow up through the youth ministry, and as I'm her youth pastor, and having her dad, you know, say like, you know, Danae, you know, it's very important to always wash behind your ears because that's very important for your spiritual growth. And Scott saying that and Michelle pouring that into Danae, the importance of washing behind her ears. And the response is, she's like, yeah, whatever, Dad. And then one day, you know, in our youth ministry gathering there, I would, like, students, today I want to talk to you about something important. I want to talk to you about the importance of washing behind your ears. And then Danae goes home and it's like, Dad, you won't believe what Pastor Sean said. It was awesome. He said we should wash behind our ears. And I know Scott's like, but that's what I've been saying. You know, that is the point. And there's just something about the dynamic that another adult in their life saying the same things, reinforcing the same concepts, just there's something about our makeup, our physiology, our adolescence, all of that puberty stuff. Oh, we're getting there. And all of those things happening, like that other voice really helps. And you know what is so cool is that Danae and her husband, Josh, are now my daughter's other voice, speaking as her student, MC3 student prime leaders. That's just awesome. So thank you guys so much. And that's this whole concept of being able to say, hey, we're here, we're on your team. And so we developed MC3 Student with that in mind to say, we want to be another voice. So let's look inside MC3 Student. Inside MC3 Student, 6th through 12th grade. First of all, there's a different perspective that is involved in why we do things the way we do when it comes to students. We, and Kendra said this and she was wrong. She said this at some point up here. I don't know if it was your prayer. But we were talking. She said something about how cool it looks to see the future of the church. And she knows what I'm saying. So she agrees with me here. But we don't see students as the future of the church. We don't see you guys. Look, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 12th, graduate. We don't see you as the church of the future. If you're a follower of Christ, you are the church now. And so we have students up here. And honestly, you know, this band thing wasn't like, oh, it's Youth Sunday, so we're going to have the kids up front. I mean, that was part of it. We wanted to reinforce this. But if you notice, you will see those students up here other times as well. because they're the church today. If you notice, you will see, and actually there's some that are not in this room right now, they're wearing their green ignition shirts because they are serving now as leaders to the next generation or side generation or however that works. Because we don't see them as the future of the church. They're the church now. And that is very different. There's a lot of risk in that, I'm sure. We're going to fail sometimes. But nowhere biblically are we told, well, wait until they're X number of years. I mean, have you read the Christmas story? Do you know how old the parents of the Messiah were? 14? 15? I'm not saying, students, you don't need to be the... Okay. But, you know, God uses them to raise Jesus. And so we see them as the church now. And that's a big part of what we do and why we do this. We're not waiting till later. The second thing is that it's the same process. This, and our website says this. If you go to mc3church.com and click on the MC3 student logo, it's the same process. We are not your typical church youth group. And I say that from the beginning, and we've talked as the student MC3 student staff. Like, we don't want people to say, well, when are you going to have your hayride? We don't have one. Well, when's camp? As far as we know, there won't be one. Well, where's their youth worship time? You're in it. Because they're not the church of the future, they're the church of today. And so we are very careful to say, like, if you're looking for a typical church youth group, where you can drop your kids off, hope they get God, and pick them up at the end, this isn't where you're going to find it. I'm sorry, because we're not here to fix your kids. We're here to come alongside you as parents and be another voice in their lives. So we have the same process. So we have the C3 process we've been talking about for weeks in this series. We do the same thing. We've got C1 is community, and we have what we call, ready? Student Prime. Whoa, where'd you get that name? Because we have prime groups for students. There's a Tuesday night group and a Thursday night group. And it's exciting just this year being able to expand and offer some more options. And, you know, hopefully the goal someday down the road is every night there's a student or an adult prime group, we'll be able to offer a student prime just for convenience of travel and all that. But we have student prime groups. There's a Tuesday night and Thursday night one. And that is so that the students can be in community with one another, in relationship with another, with that other voice leading them. And they go through the exact same discussion guide that you do as an adult in your prime group. So that is one part. So we see that prime groups, community is important. The second thing is that we allow them, we have them, we want them in here with you. We want them in here with you to experience worship. Because that's another thing that I saw over my years as a youth leader, especially one, and I led a youth worship service. We had that on purpose. And you know what it did? It made church kind of fun and neat while they were a student, but they hit 12th grade and graduated, and they had to go to big church. Big church is kind of boring and dumb. And so they left church completely. And frankly, some of you are in this room, and that was your story. And you came back here because of it. So, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with big church, but there was this clear line, like... Now, suddenly when you hit 12th grade, like the end of your senior year, you need to change what you think about church. So we say, hey, be a part of this. And if you can't pay attention to me, I can't pay attention to me, so I get it. But you know, that we want to be together. We want to be worshiping with our families. We want to be learning together. So that's why they're a part of this. And then, of course, I already said this, but C3, the idea of caring, the idea of serving. We want students. We encourage students. And I haven't checked this year what the numbers are, but almost all, and that's a big number, almost all of the students that are involved in Student Prime serve at MC3 in some way, shape, or form. In a regular way, not like, yeah, I came and helped shovel the sidewalk that one day. Which is important, please. We're coming up on winter. Shoveling is important. Like, we're at winter, apparently. But anyway, I just think that's incredible because we want to say students serve now. And you get to be alongside working with students. And as an adult, you get to experience some of that passion and watch them do things that aren't the way you would have done it, but that's okay. And they get to rub shoulders with you and say, you know, hey, tell me about life. What's going on? We're here helping in the nursery, and we get to have conversations about things. And this is on purpose. Like, this isn't accidental. And again, in your prime groups, you're going to have a chance to talk more about what that looks like, how, even if you're not part of the youth staff, how you can help be that other voice for parents. And then, Which then leads to the next thing. So a different perspective, the same process, another voice. And one of the things that we have been working towards, and we're going to be doing it in on the first Friday in November. We're doing a thing. We started. This will be the very first Parent Connect. And this again, the idea of MC3 student and the staff is to come alongside. To come alongside the parents, and to help them to be that other voice, saying the same things and working together. The one way that that works well is if you actually know the parents, or as a parent, if you know the leaders that are working with your students. And so we're doing something. And if you know what ATU is and the concept behind that, this isn't that. But it's the same deeper philosophy that, you know, ATU is there to give you as parents. Here's where we're going. Here's what we're talking about. Here's a pack so you can have interaction with your children about what the point is for the week. And so that's kind of the idea of Parent Connect. It's going to be a similar kind of concept, nowhere near. They're not going to have fun and dancing and games and cool skits. I mean, it could be fun. It probably will be fun, but there won't be dance. If Bill dances, it's always going to be fun, so maybe we can get Bill to dance. But the idea is to say, here's where we're going. Here's the series we're going to be talking about to give you the same kind of information that you might get at ATU. And then the second part is almost like a parent-teacher conference where the MC3 student staff is going to be able to be like, hey, you know, like Bill might come to me and say, Sean, you know, I know your daughter Alethea is in my prime group, which none of that's true, actually. But Josh might come to me and say, okay, Sean, your daughter Alethea is in student prime. And we have this dialogue, and Josh might say, you know, I've noticed lately that Alethea really seems to be quiet and kind of down about something. And that's not true, okay? Yeah, she's never quiet. but it's for Josh to say, hey, I've noticed this. You know, how can I help you as a parent in that? And I could say, yeah, you know what? Our little hamster died. It was sad. We tried to put it in an aquarium with water. I learned it in church a couple weeks ago, and it died. And so that's really been on her heart. And so then Josh can say, okay, good. I know how to do that. Or vice versa, I can say, Josh, I don't know if you've picked up on this, but Alethea's hamster died. And that's something she's really struggling with. And I've been trying to encourage her and help her see that Jesus raises the dead. And it's not working for the hamster. But then Josh can say, thanks. I will key in on that. I will be aware of that. And so that's the point, to have this connection time where you as a parent, and you've got to step out and be vulnerable. And as the youth leaders, we talked about this, one of the requirements for being part of the MC3 student staff is you can't be afraid of parents. And I was afraid of parents my first year as a youth. I mean, Scott was one of the parents. And look at him now. He's all lovey and soft and mushy. But anyway. I love Scott. You know what I'm saying? Parents are scary. And so that's the whole point of Parent Connect, to say we are here together. We're in this with you as the MC3 student staff. They're with us, with me as a parent, to help me raise my children, to help me disciple my kids, my students. And they're there to be that other voice for them. So that's what Parent Connect is. That's going to be starting. It'll be probably once every. We're toying around with ideas. You know, we're flexible. We change things when things work. Sometimes things don't work. But it'll probably be once every prime cycle. So there'll be a fall one, a winter one, and a spring one. Potentially, we might change that. But so the first one's coming up. You'll get more information about that from for those of you that have students and MC3 student about that from Bill and Carla and Josh and Danae. But that's what that's all about, because that's what MC3 student is. That's why we do things the way we do. That's why, you know, if you're a parent and you come to one of the leaders and say, hey, there's an issue with my student. Can I help you? Can we work together through this? School, they've been dropping off in their studies lately. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you can get something. And maybe the leaders would come and say, you know, your kid opened up about this. Are you even aware of this? And so there's this level, and I'll just be straight with all of you. Students, look at me. Your leaders are going to say things to your parents that you might not want them to know. And that doesn't mean be quiet, and that doesn't mean they're going to be blabbing all your secrets and like, did you hear who likes this? But just understand, because we love you, we're going to work together to help you through whatever might be going on in your life. And that might hurt a little bit. It might sting sometimes. Did you ever have a spray when you had a cut? My mom had this spray. It's supposed to make you feel better. It hurt like, something. Anyway, so that's why we do things. So MC3 student on the inside, MC3 Student is about being another voice for families. That's why we do it. That's what's going on. In your prime groups this week, you're going to have a great time to talk about these things and discuss, you know, how we as adults can help parents and how you as students can be encouraged and offer an example to the rest of the church. So I do want to say thank you to the students. Thank you very much for being a part of the things that you do. Of course, a couple of weeks ago, you got to hear from our missions team, and we had four students that were on that team. That's awesome. That's the next generation. That's the church now being the church. So anything that we can do for you, we want to. And students, keep on fire. Be on fire for Jesus. Honestly, if you look throughout history, the major shifts in what would be called revivals, the great revivals of history, started with students that were on fire for Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. I thank you for the next generation. I thank you that we as the current generation, I don't know what you call it, we've been given freedom and we've been allowed to do things that are differently. And of course, here we are 4 years later because of some of that freedom. And I pray that as we are that generation, that we would be able to come alongside the next generation, the students, the children, and be able to empower them, to influence them, to set them free, to be on fire for you. Help us to be just moldable. Help us to be willing to do things differently. And I pray for these students, God, and I pray that fire, that passion for Jesus would just be unquenchable, that they would have the passion of David to stand and say that I don't care about you because I've got God on my side, because I'm serving him and I'm working for him and I'm worshiping him. So may that be what marks MC3 with the next generations here. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.